knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard boys' teeth.
Well, he might if you twist his
arm. He wants to.
Arm?
We keep telling him not to, but he wants to. Hi, Dean.
I'm going to save it for Christmas. I'm going to do a huge Christmas porn special.
What are you going to put in my stocking?
Oh, I think you just answered your own question.
Right, you did. Yes, you did. Dean and I have exchanged a couple of texts back and forth over the last few days. He's in Los Angeles, and Dean is, or was, on the set of the old Johnny Carson Tonight Show.
Oh,
there's pictures
crazy.
Up on Facebook. What was that like, Dean? Was that exciting?
It's crazy. I'm not in Los Angeles anymore. You're going to freak out when you hear where I am. I'll tell you in a second.
All right.
I go to beautiful downtown Burbank, as Johnny Carson used to call it. The old NBC studios there. It's not NBC anymore. It's a production lot. It's called the Burbank Studio. But the Johnny Carson studio is, still pretty much intact. I mean, the set is obviously gone, the desk and all that, but the seats where the audience sat, all there. And Johnny Carson's nephew, who runs the Carson estate now, kind of showed me this is where Doc stood, this is where Ed stood, this is where Johnny did the monologue. This is the hallway that Johnny walked to, every night before this is where the curtains were when he would step out of the curtains. And it was, I was a kid in a candy store.
Sure.
At that place. It was absolutely unbelievable to be in maybe one of the most historic spots in broadcast history.
How jealous are you, Bill?
I'm so jealous. There's a picture that Dean posted on Facebook where he's in the audience, and it just reminded me of the thousands of times that they would go out into the audience to play Stump the Band or one of those games, right. And there you were.
Right. You know what I found out about Stump the Band? Jeff
Carson.
You told me the story that they would do Stump the Band whenever a guest canceled.
Oh, really?
The only reason that Stump the Band existed, that if somebody was supposed to be there and suddenly they had 10 minutes to fill, they would do, hey, let's do Stump the Band. And, there were always people in the audience who had stupid songs.
Sure.
to play the game. But how about that? Like, one of the most iconic parts of The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Was just a time killer.
Yeah, it was. Now, here's what needs to be asked. You work on an almost daily basis in the studio at WGN where Bozo Circus was taped every day or shown every day. And people always say the same thing. It's so much smaller in real life when you're in that studio, the Bozo studio.
Yeah.
Is it like that with Johnny Carson's studio also?
Yeah, definitely. It was much, much smaller. And it was empty, all the props and everything was gone. So I can imagine how much smaller it seemed even when there was a band there and furniture and, everything else that was there. But it was pretty cool. So I did that on Tuesday, I think.
Yeah.
And then yesterday I went to San Diego. I drove to San Diego and I met up with Joan Embry.
From the San Diego Zoo.
How cool is that? Now I'm impressed.
She's not with the zoo anymore. She's kind of semi-retired, but she has a ranch just outside of San Diego where she has really like 100 acres or something, and she keeps like sort of this wildlife conservatory of animals and things. You're sitting there talking to her and a porcupine walks by or a zebra.
I bet she's friends with Tippi Hedren.
Probably.
She probably is, and Betty White, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They're all animal, people. But she couldn't have been nicer. We had a fantastic interview with her. You're seeing, the theme of my week has all been very Johnny Carson.
Yeah.
Because we're working on some stories for the launch of the Johnny Carson Show on Antenna TV, our, nostalgia national cable channel. Where we show all the great old shows starting January 1st. We're going to start running full episodes of the Johnny Carson Show with monologue, with all the bands, the interviews, the Stump the Bands, everything. It'll be a 10 p.m. weeknights on Antenna TV, and we're working on some cool stories. We've talked to some amazing people who were you know, part of the show, Friends with Johnny, that we'll have over the next couple of weeks, which brings me to where I am at this moment.
Where is that?
I'm in Ted Koppel's house.
Are you at Ted Koppel's house?
I'm at Ted Koppel's house.
How much hairspray is there?
Does Ted Koppel know you're in his house, or did you break into Ted Koppel's house?
That's the thing. He doesn't even know I'm here.
Oh, no. This is going to be bad.
Right.
I bet there's a film over all the mirrors because of all the hairspray.
Yeah.
I'm taking a couple of hair pieces and getting the hell out.
Oh, my God.
No.
Why are you there?
Because Ted Koppel, you know, competed. Well, he was on The Tonight Show with Johnny. He was a guest a couple of times. But he was one of the few people that was ever actually successful competing against Johnny Carson with Nightline.
Right.
So I wanted to talk to him just, you know, about that, but also the side of Johnny Carson. When we think of the comedy and, you know, Aunt Blabby and Karnak and, you know, all the laughs, but Johnny Carson also sort of was the barometer of what the national conversation in the day's news was because of his monologue.
Sure.
You know, he would sort of set the tone of what people were talking about. So I thought, you know, kind of a news perspective on what Johnny Carson was would be important. And who better to talk about that than, you know, somebody who has competed against him doing a news show, but also knew him. So I'm looking at literally, I haven't counted. There must be like 25, 40 Emmy Awards.
For Ted Koppel?
Like his office area.
Yeah.
Got pictures of every president, pictures of, you know, him and, you know, with stories that he's covered, famous places that he's been. It's an amazing, this is a museum, his office. It's a huge, huge office in, just in back of his house.
Dean, I don't know. I just want to say really quick, I don't know if you know this, but when they first came up with the concept for Nightline, it was going to be a show that would last a good long time. Their plan was, because this was during the Iranian hostage crisis, was just an update as to what was going on with the hostages, and they assumed that the show would last a couple of weeks and then they'd move on, but that didn't play out that way.
Right. It was just supposed to be a daily update on, you know, as we were counting down, you know, day number, you know, whatever it was, 147 of the hostage situation. And Ted Koppel would bring us up to date on, you know, whatever was going on with that story that day. Really, it was the sort of the beginning of, you know, the 24-hour news cycle of, you know, this was, you know, before there was a CNN, before there was a Fox News, before, you know, these, you know, cable channels that are littered with nonstop news now. This was one of the first, you know, sort of daily news shows about a particular topic. So, you know, Ted Koppel is, you know, historic in his way, and he has no idea what I've, you know, stolen and put in my briefcase.
My watch is gone on Nightline.
He comes back, he's going to find like four he's got like some, there, honestly, there's like, you know, 40 Emmy, you know, the statuettes, the Emmy Awards. He's got like 40 of them. Is he going to miss two
of them? He's not going to miss two of them.
Where is my shower cap?
He's not going to miss, take his soap. I'm going to take his liquid soap.
Dean, what if he just had velvet paintings in every room? Wouldn't that be strange?
How awesome would that be if, you know, you walk in here expecting what I am looking at, this museum of news, and it wound up being like the dogs playing poker and
cigars. That'd be Elvis, beautiful.
Elvis on velvet. Yeah. You know, like that. How awesome would that be?
That'd be fantastic. Now, we have to ask you a question. We know that you're very busy out there in California right now, and there was another interview that you may have had scheduled. Do you have time to take a break and then talk to us about movies, or do we need to let you go?
Well, I'm waiting. Ted's supposed to be here any second. So,
all right.
You know, let's try. If he walks in, I'm going to tell you that I got to go. So.
Or just hang up on us.
Yeah, just hang up on us. We're used to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. All right, that's cool.
And just hang up.
All right, we will take a quick break, and then we'll talk more to Dean Richards, who, of course, where else would he be? He's at Ted Koppel's house. We'll find out what's going on with the movies next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Make sure the doctor is on call, because this week Chicago's Best is deep frying their way through Chicagoland. I am in Chicago's Best Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder along with Dean Richards. And as you know, whenever Dean isn't in studio with us over at Channel 9 at the TV studios, we ask that he talk to us live from Ted Koppel's house. That's where he is right now. Ted still...
Right now, I'm looking at a wall of his pictures. Ted Koppel with Yasser Arafat.
Wow.
With Henry Kissinger, Bill Clinton, Mikhail Gorbachev. Let's see, who else is... He's got quite a few pictures of Kissinger. He's got a picture of him standing under... Do you remember those... there was that structure that was in Iraq.
Yeah,
that Saddam Hussein the two hands.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Swords.
Yeah.
Him standing underneath that. There's a picture of that. What else?
Wow.
What else can I take you
How
on? A little
impressive.
Tour of?
That beats all my blacklight posters and Miller light mirrors.
I got a Polaroid of me with Ronnie Woo Woo. That's all I have.
Oh, you win.
Right. I have a picture of me and Bob Bell and Roy Brown.
That's not bad.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah. That's very impressive.
Right.
All right, so Ted is not in the room.
I understand. No, he's actually walking in right now, so oh. I'm gonna have to take off.
Okay.
But let me just quickly tell you for the movies that are opening this weekend.
Yes.
A Christmas horror movie that's called Krampus. Krampus is an actual folkloric character, which is the opposite of Santa Claus. It's a character that comes to punish children that are bad, not reward children that are good, but punish them, abduct them, take them away from their parents, do evil things to them. And in the case of this movie, people are killed and murdered. You know, does anything say Merry Christmas more than that?
Nope. Perfect.
Really? It stars Toni Collette and Adam Scott, who is on Parks and Recreation. And it is, you know, it'll freak you out of how strange it is for a Christmas movie. So I gave this one a Dean's List C- on this. It's also not very well done.
Okay, Krampus
is bad. The
movie
that everyone's talking about this weekend is Spike Lee's Chirac, the much controversial Chirac that opens. And I think that this, you know, bottom line on this, I think it's just a huge missed opportunity. Mm. Spike Lee had the opportunity to tell an important a story about one of the biggest crises that Chicago has ever faced, the problem of gun violence in Chicago. And instead, he decides to treat the story in a comedic, satiric way, telling the story of the ancient Greek comedy in which women put on a sex strike to get their men to stop the violence. And that's what this movie is about. So in the middle of children being killed on the south side of Chicago are these wildly over-the-top comedic scenes that just seem so inappropriate to me. I mean, to me, it would be like doing a satire about 9/11.
Yeah.
Or, you know, something else which is so serious.
When I saw the trailer, I was shocked at what I saw. I thought it was going to – it really confused me. I thought it was going to be something so different.
Yeah. It's over-the-top. It's like, you know, circus-like in a way. Mostly, I was so disappointed that there was an opportunity to really contribute to this conversation, you know, and try to, you know, to shed some light, teach us something new, show us something poignant, touching about this very serious subject. I don't think it does that. So, you know, one thing balances out another. Angela Bassett turns in a good performance. John Cusack plays sort of a Father Flager-like role mm-hmm. in the movie. As a kind of a touching scene, but overall, I was hugely disappointed, and I'm giving this one a Dean's List C.
So neither film faring very well. Krampus is C-, Chirac is C. It's our friend Dean Richards live, of course, as always, from Ted Koppel's house in California.
Say hi to Ted for us.
We'll do.
Thank you, Dean. Travel safely. Thanks so much. Bye. You could hear Ted Koppel in the background giving him the wrap-up. Like, I'm here now.
Do you know who I am?
I'm Ted Koppel. Hurry up. You could hear that.
I got to push my hair down to get through the doorway. How can Dean make fun of him when he's in his house that he's going to interview him?
No.
Didn't you find that? Because when I said that, I thought, you know what? That was probably bad of me to say because he's going to interview him. Dean played right along.
You sparked him. You got him excited. don't know.
I love that guy.
I don't understand. All right, we'll take a quick break, and then we have a lot more show ahead.
It's Zuzu!
Zuzu from It's a Wonderful
Life.
She's here. Yep, Carolyn Grimes will join us in just a little bit right after the news. Bill and Wendy, WGN.